Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Everybody, welcome into episode number 620 of Underground Sports Philadelphia, presented by the City of Vineland. It's an NFL free agency special with a sprinkle of baseball, hockey, and a little more extra fun stuff in the mix. It's your boy KB coming at you solo dolo. Had to rock solo for this one. Bummed out. Wish I would have had more people to bounce off of for NFL free agency. But nonetheless, I'm going to keep it a buck, give you my thoughts and insight on everything the Eagles are doing, some of the big free agent signings across the NFL. We'll dive into some baseball a little bit in the middle of the show. We'll also get into the Flyers, and we'll keep it pushing. Obviously, we'll also talk a little madness because later on in the show, Stephen McAvoy recorded an interview with the one and only Ryan Hammer to talk some March Madness, so definitely stick around for that. You won't want to miss it. A great interview as part of our Underground Madness installments this March. But before we get into all of that, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at UndergroundPHI on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI. Twitch.tv/UndergroundSportsPHI. You can follow me on Twitter at KBIZZL311 and on Instagram and Threads at KBIZZLE11. You can follow me on TikTok at KB Underground as well. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the podcast feed on audio, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts in audio form. Subscribe to the pod. It really does help the show continue to grow, helps more people find Underground Sports Philadelphia as a whole, and allows us to keep doing more awesome stuff like our Selection Sunday live stream that is upcoming, like going on the road and planning all of these tailgates and podcasts and live shows and on-location shows. The more you subscribe, the more it looks awesome to potential advertisers and allows us internally to hit more goals. So keep subscribing on Apple and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts in audio form. We continue to climb the charts in the U.S. You know, a couple weeks ago we were in the 1500s. Last week we were in the 1400s. Now we're inside the 1300s in the U.S. sports charts. Let's keep going. Keep subscribing. Keep listening and downloading on audio because it really does help the show continue to grow. And, of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. That is where you get this show in full video form twice a week. You get every podcast on our network in full video form. You get interviews, live streams, original video content. We will be live this Sunday for Selection Sunday. Myself, DJ, Pat Pitts, Stephen McAvoy, breaking down the bracket, getting excited for March Madness. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. At the time of this recording, we're at 752 subscribers. Let's keep it going. Let's get to 800 during our Selection Sunday live stream or before it. Let's make that happen. youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. And of course, this show is presented by the City of Vineland, our awesome presenting sponsor who has been on board with us for a year now. And I know we mentioned it earlier this year around our anniversary time, but City of Vineland back on board with us for another year as our presenting sponsor. They want to get more involved with us, and it's awesome just having our city backing us 110%. Can't thank Mayor Anthony Fannucci enough and the entire City of Vineland for backing us, seeing our vision, and supporting everything we're doing here at Underground Sports Philadelphia. So big thank you to the City of Vineland. Looking forward to another year working alongside you guys and making sure that Vineland is the community that it deserves to be recognized as. 110% across the board in delivering a media outlet for City of Vineland sports fans like Underground Sports Philadelphia. And the City of Vineland Municipal Calendar features city-organized, city-sponsored, and city-affiliated events that are of public interest. The calendar, which is accessible at vinelandcity.org, is a good way for residents and visitors to build awareness, remain engaged with city government, and participate in local events. You can also follow the City of Vineland on social media via their Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube pages. And through these tools, you can stay connected to the community and get important announcements about programs and services offered by the city. Vineland, New Jersey, where it's always growing season. And big thank you to Security 21 Security Systems and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated for their continued support of this podcast. Let's get into it. The free agent frenzy is underway. It is brought to you by our awesome merch partners at PHI Apparel Company, the best merch partners in the game. The Howie Season shirts are available. The Philly Dog shirts are available. And Underground Sports Philadelphia podcast merch is available as well. Got to figure out a way to get some to Saquon, Bryce Huff, Devontae Parker, all these new Eagles free agents. We need to get them on board with the pod. Tag them in the pod. Let them know we exist. We want to get them on the show and let them know where to come for the best Philly sports coverage in the game. And PHI Apparel Company has us styling and profiling this entire free agent period and throughout all of the 366 days on the calendar. Go to phiapparel.co so you can stand out in the crowd. And when you go to checkout, use our code UNDERGROUND for 10% off your merch orders. It is the most effective and direct way to support everything we're doing here at Underground Sports Philadelphia. So go to phiapparel.co and use code UNDERGROUND for 10% off your order. It is free agency time. And I am so excited. I am so pumped. And it is that time of year where new faces in new places, and it got kickstarted as the Eagles signed defensive end edge rusher Bryce Huff to a $51.1 million contract, and he became the highest paid undrafted free agent not a quarterback in NFL history with that deal. He had 10.5 sacks last year for the New York Jets, and I think he's going to be an awesome piece for this Philadelphia Eagles football team. I'm very excited about the prospect that is Bryce Huff and what he's going to bring to this Eagles defense, and his ability to get after the quarterback is really, really good. And in a Vic Fangio defense where you need the edge rushers, I think it is going to be such a massive key piece to this defense where I think the sky is the limit for someone like Bryce Huff, and I'm just so pumped that he's here, he's ready to play, and I think he's going to be somebody that Eagles fans are going to quickly fall in love with. Having him come off the edge with Hassan Reddick, right now Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, you know, these edge and Nolan Smith, the edge rushers on this team are elite caliber, and I'm excited about Bryce Huff being on this team. But the next free agent, he's a runner, he's a track star, literally, and that is Pennsylvania's own Saquon Barkley is a Philadelphia Eagle. It is so wild to say that. It is crazy to think about. But Saquon Barkley has signed a 3-year, $37.75 million contract with the Eagles. An elite caliber running back on this team. Not that DeAndre Swift wasn't, but my goodness. Saquon Barkley running behind this Eagles offensive line is something I think Saquon has dreamt about since he was at Penn State. To be able to have the caliber of offensive line, the caliber of quarterback that he'll be playing with Jalen Hurts as his quarterback, and him being a three-down back, being able to catch the ball out of the backfield, he makes this offense so multidimensional. And I know Kellen Moore is like foaming at the mouth, ready to utilize not only A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Devontae Parker now. But to have Saquon Barkley at his disposal has got to be just an awesome feeling as an offensive coordinator. Saquon being here is crazy. You know, at first I was skeptical because the Eagles have had a notorious past, obviously, with DeMarco Murray and bringing in a former division rival running back. How is that going to play out? But the more and more I sit back and think about it, Saquon is still so young. He is so talented. He was playing at MetLife Stadium for his entire career. He's still only 27 years old, just turned 27. And now he won't be playing at MetLife for 8 to 9 games a year. He won't be playing behind that dog water Giants offensive line all season long. He's got a competent quarterback playing alongside him. He's got an offensive coordinator that's going to utilize his skill sets to the max. If you're an Eagles fan, you have to be excited about this. And, you know, I was talking to a lot of people that were bashing the signing, that were talking about it's too much money for a running back, this, that, and the third. The way the cap has gone up, running backs are getting paid still on par with what the cap is. And if you're the New York Giants, you have to let Saquon go. Could you have traded him at the deadline last year? Absolutely. It was a mistake for them not to. But the Giants are in no position to win right now. They are not a team that's going to make the playoffs. They overachieved the 1 year in 2022, and the writing is on the wall for them now that they're paying Daniel Jones $40 million to potentially be a backup now that they've signed Drew Locke. The Giants aren't going anywhere. You don't pay a running back the money that the Eagles are paying a running back if you're not going anywhere. The Eagles, who have the quarterback in place, who have the offensive line in place, who have the wide receiver playmakers in place, who have an elite tight end, who have a defense that has pieces to get you to the promised land, who have a new innovative offensive coordinator who's going to actually call plays that make sense. Signing Saquon Barkley is like a final piece of the puzzle for this offense. And that's why Howie Roseman goes out and does the against the norm of what the Eagles do and signs an elite caliber player, a former number two overall pick in the NFL draft. That's when you go and sign someone like Saquon Barkley, and the Eagles are trying to compete for a championship. They are trying to win a championship, and that's what it boils down to. The Eagles are in win-now mode, and they went and got a win-now player, and I couldn't be happier that Saquon is here. I think he's going to be absolutely electric. I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong. And the Eagles have a high-quality, high-caliber, elite running back for the first time since LeSean McCoy was here. And that's something to be excited about. That is something to be excited about. And Saquon's introductory video on his Instagram of the jersey swap with many men playing. And if Saquon knows, if he's that online paying attention to the Eagles and Howie Roseman during this free agency period, my oh my, was he born to play here. Saquon also getting it in with Tiki Barber's clown ass, talking about how Saquon is dead to him and dead to Giants fans. Saquon did the right thing. He came right back at Tiki Barber, stood on business, and made it known that, hey, you're acting a fool right now. No need for that. You never showed me respect while I was here. I love what Saquon did. He's one of us. He's one of us. I'm very excited about Saquon Barkley being here, and I'm excited I get to root for Saquon. Like, that's a cool thing. Because, like, I'm not a college football fan. Like, I appreciate what Saquon did at Penn State as a player, but he's been a Giant. And when you're on the Giants, I don't like you because I'm an Eagles fan. And now he's on this side of the rivalry, and I get to root for him to succeed and be an elite caliber player. And I'm excited about that opportunity as a fan. And I think Saquon's going to embrace Eagles fans so much. I'm just over the moon ecstatic about Saquon Barkley being here because the contract is not bad at all either. The contract is very team friendly. The cap hit in the first year is like close to nothing. and it's effectively a 2-year deal with an option for the third year. So I'm pumped. Welcome to Philadelphia, Saquon Barkley, Bryce Huff. The Eagles also signed linebacker Zach Bond to a 1-year deal. And I, of course, went to our good pal and resident Saints fan, Ralph Marlborough, Saints forecast on the tweet machine, friend of the program. I said, hey, Ralph, talk to me, Goose. What do I got to know about Zach Bond? And this is what he told me about the Eagles' new linebacker who's coming to town. I'm very pumped about the prospect that is Zach Bond. I think he's a good depth piece at the linebacker position. And he told me, great special teamer. Saints played him in the wrong spot for 3.5 years. Let him rush. Let him get after the quarterback. I'm stoked about the prospect that is Zach Bond in this Eagles defense as a special teamer. Great depth signing by Howie Roseman. Then he goes out and gets one of my favorite players of all time. DeVante Parker is now a Philadelphia Eagle. They signed him to a 1-year deal worth $1.2 million because the New England Patriots are paying the rest of the contract that they are signing him for. DeVante Parker has been one of my favorite players in the NFL since he came into the NFL with the Miami Dolphins, and now he's going to be on the Eagles as like a fifth option as it's currently constructed. You look at the Eagles' passing game options. It's 1, A.J. Brown, 1A, DeVonta Smith. Your next option is going to be Dallas Goedert. And then your next option after Dallas Goedert is Saquon Barkley. And then after that, you go DeVante Parker. And you go some of these other receivers that the Eagles would either draft or sign in free agency. And I think this is a great move by the Eagles. I think it's a great move by DeVante Parker to come to a team that is going to utilize his skill sets in a way that haven't been done before, in my opinion. Because when he was in Miami, he was with Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, New England, who was throwing him the ball? Nobody. And everyone freaking out about a $1.2 million contract for DeVante Parker needs to calm down. He is going to be the fifth receiving option in this offense as it's currently constructed, like I mentioned. And DeVante Parker is a receiver that you use to get 50-50 balls. He thrives when he's in coverage. That's the type of receiver he is. He's a poor man's Julio Jones when Julio Jones was in his prime. He is one of those kinds of receivers. You don't need to worry about separation with DeVante Parker. He's the type of receiver that wants the contact, that wants to go up and get the ball when he's defended one-on-one. That's how you use DeVante Parker. He's going to be awesome in the red zone, and I think it's a great under-the-radar signing by the Eagles. They also signed Matt Hennessy from the Atlanta Falcons, and I think this is a great offensive line depth signing. Went to Temple. He's 26. Obviously, Jason Kelce retired. You're going to need some more depth now that Cam Jurgens is sliding over, playing center. Need some guard depth. That's exactly what Matt Hennessy brings to the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think this is an awesome depth signing for the Birds. I think he's going to thrive with this team and absolutely show out for them. I think he's a great depth signing, which Howie Roseman always does really well with constructing the trenches, whether it's offensive line, defensive line. There's always depth, and I think Matt Hennessy adds depth to that, and you give him an opportunity to come home and play in Philadelphia where he played his college football. I like this move a lot. I think it's a great signing. It's a 1-year deal. Great move by Howie Roseman there. And then the other big move, the big dog move. Play the music. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Tell the world C.J. Gardner-Johnson's coming home. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is back, baby. He's back. He is back. Ugh, I am over the moon ecstatic. I'm over the moon ecstatic. But welcome home, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is back on a 3-year deal. With a base salary of, I believe, $27 million overall, can get up to $33 million. Should have never left. We should have never had him leave. But he's back and on a long-term deal. And he is somebody that this Eagles defense missed his swagger, his confidence, his his arrogance, which I use in the best phrasing of the word, because CJ is a dog. He is somebody who plays with a tenacity and a ferocity and a swagger about him that this Eagles defense craved last year. He's a ball hawk, will create turnovers, can play in the slot if you need him to. I am so over the moon pumped that CJGJ is back. CD Deuce. And I think he is going to rebirth the swagger and the arrogance and the cockiness and the confidence that this Eagles defense lacked last year to a degree. And this team needs it. They needed it bad last year. He makes everyone around him look better and play better. And the way that he can create turnovers is second to none. He's still very young. And, you know, he's only 26 years old. He's still only 26 years old. And I think the sky is the limit for him in this defense. I think he's going to thrive this coming season and beyond. And I hope he's an Eagle for life. I hope he is here the rest of his career, because he is just the epitome of what this defense was lacking. He apologized to Eagles fans on the tweet machine and posted a photo on his Instagram that has me pumped. It has me pumped. It was hidden, and he brought it back, and it's now his pinned post on Instagram. From the Super Bowl, blood, sweat, tears. Now let's finish the job, and it's him in the Eagles gear, ready to go. I am so incredibly pumped for CD Deuce to be back in Eagles green. Ugh. It is truly one of the best signings. You know, he's just got so much awesome swagger about him, and he's one of my favorite players. I loved him on the Saints. I rooted for him last year when he was with Detroit. And he's gotten three teams to conference championship games. That's a winning player. He's a winning player. He's got swagger. He's cool. I saw somebody on Twitter say his nickname should be the Green Goblin. To me, that's still Jalen Mills. But I am totally down for calling CD Deuce the Goblin, because he is truly just a masterclass defensive back and is going to bring this team back to where they need to be defensively. Welcome home, CD Deuce. We are going to step aside from your boy real quick to bring you Stephen McAvoy and Ryan Hammer for Underground Madness Volume 2. Volume 3, actually. I was part of Volume 1 and 2. Volume 3, our first interview of March Madness season with Ryan Hammer. Make sure you guys are following him on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, at RyanHammer9. An awesome interview, so stay put.
Welcome to Underground Madness Volume 3. It's your guide through the madness, Steve McAvoy here, digging ever so deep into conference tournament slates and basically everything else you could think of within the world of March Madness. Looking forward to St. Patrick's Day and Selection Sunday, but joining me to break it all down is one of the best followers on social media, in my very unprofessional opinion. Bringing you a ton of helpful info both prior to and during the big dance, Ryan Hammer. You can find him on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at RyanHammer9. Ryan, welcome to the Underground. As we sit here, 7 p.m. on a Tuesday, got some big semifinal, final matchups going on. Is there anything that you're digging into or really hoping that occurs in the next 2 hours?
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me on, first of all. It's exciting times. Yeah, I mean, Gonzaga St. Mary's tonight is going to be big. I think it's bigger than people think it is also, because they're not just playing for the usual, like, usually Gonzaga is like a one seed and St. Mary's is like a somewhere between a 4 and a 7, but they're both kind of in that like 6-7 Gonzaga to like 8-9 range for St. Mary's. So I think the winner of tonight is going to be able to get off the 8-9 line. So I'm real excited for that one.
I was looking at the Stony Brook and Charleston game because my fiance went to Stony Brook, and I've been like sweating this out. I thought Drexel was going to run away with it. I'm like doing a segment, and I'm looking, it's like, oh God, it's close in the second half. And it goes to OT. I'm like, oh God, double OT. And then all of a sudden Stony Brook pulls it out, and I live bet the Stony Brook line late. And
oh God, it's crazy.
The ridiculousness of live betting March Madness is basically my bread and butter. It's like death taxes and me losing a ton of money. So let's kind of just dig right in. I want to discuss what's happened already, what's going to happen this week, and then I'll look ahead towards the rest of the bracket as we slowly fill it out. Starting with what we already know, what stood out to you in the last week and a half that's really jumped off the page in terms of teams who are in, teams who are out?
I mean, there's a lot that's been happening. The first thing that comes to mind is Michigan State, just because they are polarizing and a hot topic of discussion across the world. It just feels like they don't want to be in the tournament. Like every time they have a chance to lock in and claim their spot and secure their spot with some safety, they just blow it. And like at Indiana, it's not an easy game by any means, but they've been playing well. But they jump off the page. Villanova's kind of in the same way. There have been teams like FAU that beat Memphis, Boise State, and Nevada that have jumped into basically lock status to get themselves in the tournament. There's always a lot happening. And at this point, for the bubble teams, all those teams that you're talking about that are just in, just out, or kind of like up in the air, like this is it. If you lose your next game, you're probably toast for the most part, even the teams that are just in. So it's do or die for real this time.
Like in terms of the past week, especially with conference tournament play for a lot of the mid-majors, like of course Indiana State jumps off the page. That's a immediate, where are they going to go? Are they on the bubble? Are they out? Largely because of their wins and losses. We'll talk about them in a second. But those teams that have already locked themselves in at the 14s, the 15s, the 16s, as we have more mid-majors coming in this week, are any of those of interest, or are we just saying, all right, they won the conference tournament, let's kind of call it a break?
No, definitely. You mentioned, obviously, the ones that won already. I think there's been five or maybe I think six it's been. Mm-hmm. Drake is obviously good. They'd probably be around 11 seed. They could even get a 10 if things go well for them, but they're dangerous. They were dangerous last year. They just drew Miami, which kind of sucked in the first round. JMU is also going to be around that 11 or 12 line. They are legit. Their offense is legit. Terrence Edwards is a go-to guy. He's an NBA-level player and athlete. Will he get to the league? Not sure, but they're awesome. And even the other teams, I think Stetson and Longwood look fun. Maybe that's just because they were a couple of the first champions, and we kind of like love to dive in on those. But Stetson's legit. I love Jalen Blackman. He scored 43 in their final game. Longwood surprised me. I didn't think they would kick the living life out of Asheville that bad, and I love the Asheville coming in. And they also beat High Point too. So it's not just nothing. Even Samford, I know, on last night too. Like, these are definitely some dangerous teams. There are definitely a lot more mid-majors that are going to be able to make some noise in the tournament, but it all depends on who they draw and do they match up well in the first round. So
of course, we don't necessarily know that quite yet, but before I dig into Indiana State, because this is really the one polarizing thing that I want to get to in terms of the mid-major, mm-hmm. Do any of these teams have a chance to be that George Mason or that FAU or Florida Gulf Coast at all?
Yeah, and everyone, if Indiana State gets in, and I guess I'll talk to them and mm-hmm. assume they're in, everyone's going to pick them. I'll say that. Everyone's going to pick Indiana State because they have Robbie Avila. They have a fun offense. They can shoot. They spread the ball like the NBA teams. I don't think it's them because when they run into a team that plays blisteringly good defense and they're physical, they're going to struggle. And they have struggled against those teams in throughout this season. But there are definitely teams that could, I don't know, why can't they go to the Final Four? I think McNeese State is playing right now. I love McNeese State. USF is showing that they can beat anybody. Princeton looks really good. GCU looks good. Anyone out of the A-10 could be really good. So I think there are definitely a few candidates that Final Four is crazy, obviously, but it's happened before. But Elite Eight, Sweet 16 runs for sure.
So in terms of, aside from Indiana State, because of course there are those other teams that are on the bubble that are in those Power Five conferences, and this is really kind of the glue of where everything goes from here. How does a school like Villanova do, a Colorado, a Michigan State, or even some of those back end Big Ten, Big 12 schools that could try and force their way in? With Indiana State, of course, their quad one wins are not very good. We could dig more into the resume there, but do they have a chance, assuming the Power Five brackets kind of go chalky?
Yeah, and I think they're benefiting a lot from, like I mentioned, that Michigan State and Nova and a bunch of these teams, they're basically playing themselves out. It feels like there are more teams playing themselves out of the tournament than in. Miss State's resume has become very, very shaky when a couple of weeks ago they looked like they were about to lock in. St. John's resume is very questionable. Texas A&M has a lot of bad losses. Villanova just keeps on losing. New Mexico has lost a few games. Wake Forest lost to Notre Dame. They kind of screwed them over. Memphis keeps losing. Like, it feels like it is going to be fine for Indiana State. I think because of the, like, they're everything where they rank in terms of metric ranks, the net ranking, KenPom, even strength of record and all those things, they rank really well compared to a lot of the other bubble teams and even teams that are off the bubble and pretty securely in. So that would suggest that they would get like a 10 seed, maybe an 11 and be fine. But I think because of the lack of big time wins, their quad one win, I think, was at Bradley. Their home winning against Drake technically ended up being a quad two, but they don't have those quality wins. So I think that could push them to the last four in. That's where I have them slated, but I have them slated as the first last four in team. So they have like a little bit of breathing room.
So pending on how the Power Five conferences do, let's kind of dig into that. As they started off today, there's a lot of news going around, of course, the automatic qualifiers. We already kind of know who's getting their auto bids. But amongst those bubble schools between the Big East, Pac-12, Big 12, so on, including even the A-10, where we could very well see a two-bid conference, who are those teams that you don't see getting in, that you do see making a run that could very well push a lot of these schools out?
I think I talked about the bubble today, actually. It was interesting. I was looking at my whole chart and like likelihood of getting in. I think Syracuse and Ohio State have the best chance as very outside teams to make good runs, because not only are they close enough where, like, sure, they have like a 20 to 25% chance to get in right now, but they play have a good path. It's not too hard, but it's hard enough to have quality wins. I figured if Syracuse has to play first, but then they're going to have to play Duke, and then they'd have to play Virginia or Clemson. So they wouldn't have to face Carolina until the ACC title game. So are they going to win all those games? I don't know. Unlikely, obviously, but I think that's a good path because they avoid Carolina. Ohio State for very similar reasons, and Ohio State's just been playing great ball. Like, they've been playing really well in the Big Ten. The Big Ten always has something stupid happen where someone makes a run or wins a tournament out of nowhere. Penn State was good last year, so I will give them the benefit of the doubt. But they were kind of dark horse and out of nowhere, and I think Ohio State could be that team.
One of the things that I personally followed you for early on while getting into college basketball, I was never really a huge college hoops fan, and March Madness just kind of came to me in college, and sports gambling became legal, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, well, balls to the wall. So looking at turning gears from what we already know and what we're looking forward to, and eventually come St. Patrick's Day, when the bracket does come out, everyone's going to be filling out brackets. People are going to be so enamored with what does it take to be the metric of success for all of this. I know you talk about the travel sort of excellence. Dig into that. What are the metrics that we need to know? What teams stand out? Not even again, among the top teams, of course, but also in that middle range that can have a Cinderella run.
Yeah, and like, so the Travis Order of Excellence also is a pace-based rating and metric, and via historical champions and teams that have been successful to try to say, like, hey, like UConn last year and Baylor three years ago and Kansas 2 years ago, like, they're all up in here. So if you're here, that's obviously a good thing. That's kind of where it goes from. But I will say to people, I tell everybody this, that teams will succeed outside of that, outside of the trapezoid of excellence. It's really just to identify, one, national champions, and two, differences in early matchups for upsets. So, like, if Arizona plays very fast and very well, and then you get a team like Dayton or St. Mary's in the second round who plays very slow and very well, maybe they can make Arizona very uncomfortable playing less possessions. So they have to value each possession more. It's something they're not used to playing, and then they can kind of take them out of their comfort zone and take that win. But there are a million metrics that people need to consider. I try to tell people this, and I will when I start posting all the videos, like probably starting like Thursday, Friday into next week, of all those charts that I love to post about. I say, hey, like, don't pick teams just off of one thing. Like, if you think a team like shoots a three ball really well, that's great. Like, what if their opponent does also? So look at everything else. Look at turnover margin. Look at health of the guys. Look at how they've done in versus similar opponents in throughout the season and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot more that goes into it beyond looking at one thing and being like, oh yeah, that's my team right there, I'm picking them. But I think stuff like the trapezoid of excellence and pace and stuff is really good to give you confidence in your picks also. If you like UConn and they rank really well, you look at that and you're like, okay, I feel much better now about them. So
there's been a rumor swirling around in terms of the last like 5 years that if you don't turn the ball over much, you force a lot of turnovers, and you hit every free throw that you can get to, you should be able to go deep in March. Are those some of the things that reign true, or is there like one metric that like no one like really considers that like always jumps out? This is what a champion does every single year.
There's really not, honestly. Like, it does change. Like, a net rating is always something for national champions because that's just general performance rating. Like, you have to be good enough throughout that entire season to be able to win even like 3-4, not even let alone 5 or 6 consecutive games against the nation's best teams. Like, that's just basic math. And people are like, oh, well, a team can go on a run and just get on a heater of winning 5 games in a row, like, even if they're not that good. Like, no, they won't, because the opponents are going to get better and better as you go along, for the most part, at least. So that usually is that it never really happens like that. But there are things. Turnover margin is one that I love to look at. I think teams that are in like the net negative turnover margin in the lower left quadrant, when I look at a chart on the grand scheme of all 68 tournament teams, those teams will not win a national title because you don't take care of the ball. It just ain't going to go well when you're just giving up free opportunities and free points. And there are going to be teams that take advantage of that. Teams like Auburn and New Mexico off the top of my head, and McNeese State, who I mentioned before. Those teams live off of the opponent's mistakes and taking them the other way to score and get basically free points and free possession. So that's one that I think is very underrated.
One of the things that I've also been looking at, I've been really big on, and granted, it's kind of shot me in the foot in the past, is looking at rebounding. Obviously, getting those second chance points and rebounds versus free throws. Where do those two match up in terms of the more valuable statistic to be following? Because Houston, obviously, yeah, one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country, got washed come the round of 32, round of 16, and later over the past 3 years, it just hasn't seemed to figure itself out.
Yeah, the rebounding thing is something I definitely look at for matchup space stuff. Like, I was literally looking at the Mountain West earlier today. Colorado State is very small. They don't rebound the ball well. So if they play against teams like San Diego State and Utah State, like, in the Mountain West, it's kind of different because you play those teams every single, like, a couple of times throughout the year, so you might adjust to it. But if they were to play an out-of-conference team that rebounds the ball really well, like UConn, like, that's a matchup I don't like. So even if I like other things about it, I use rebounding to look at matchups. Free throw shooting is something that, like, I think there's a certain base. I forget what it is. It's really not that high. It's like middle of the pack way, like 70% or something like that, and then you can win a national title. I think it's just don't be bad at free throw shooting. And to me, I'm someone who, like, I was like 13, and I'm watching March Madness. I'm like, I'm not picking a team that can't free throws. I just won't do it. Like, and I still will do that. If I love Houston, I know they're not the best free throw shooting team. I don't know exactly what the percentage is at, but maybe I'll be like, I can't do it. They're not shooting well enough. They don't shoot well enough in clutch moments, which I think they do, and their guards are very well good enough. But that's a thing that's almost like a gut check for me. And like, I post so much numbers and analytics and charts and all these matchup things, but like, half the time, especially when I'm making a bracket, I'm just not feeling this team. Gut check. I'm not doing it. So
of course, it's very early. Don't even have the bracket yet. But in terms of the national champion possibilities and who's going to go on a run, who are some of the teams that everyone's looking at to possibly win but are just completely overrated based on either the conference they play in or the metrics seem really good, but the second they go out of their conference, it's a wash?
Yeah, I think that last part was something important, where teams that didn't prove themselves in the out-of-conference slate, I trust less for sure, because there are teams like Seton Hall is obviously not going to national title. Seton Hall is a good example, though, because they were really bad in the out-of-conference, but they were really good in the in-conference, and I think that speaks more to prep, a testament to their prep and game prep and staff and coaching for the opponents that they play every single year. So they know these guys, and they play them twice a year, sometimes 3 times a year. Like, they understand how to game plan for those teams more than others. So I think teams that, like, I know UConn and Purdue did really well in the out-of-conference this year. Like, that is something I love to see. Houston did well, but they didn't play a great out-of-conference, even though I love Houston. So, like, is the Big 12 being that good enough? Like, maybe it is. I think Arizona playing in the Pac-12 is weak. I think they're not going to win because they play too fast and they rely too much on offense, but also because the same reason that Gonzaga and Houston haven't won a national title, at least Houston in the last whatever years, because when you play in a conference that doesn't get 4, 5, 6 tournament teams in the tournament, you're not playing good enough teams down the stretch when you're coming into the tournament, when you're going into the postseason to be ready to play 4 or 5 of those teams back to back to back to back and win all those games. Where Arizona, sure, if they go beat Utah and they go beat Wazoo and they go beat Colorado, like, that's impressive, but it's always impact. You have ASU in between that. You have to play Oregon State in between those games. So you kind of get like little breaks, and they've shown way too much vulnerability in those games also. So that's a team that I definitely don't love. Everyone loves Kentucky. I understand why. I love Kentucky also. Watching them is amazing. They're probably the most electric offense in the country, at least like a top three. They're super talented. They have every piece to beat any team in the country. I don't think they're going to win a national title. I think they could get to the Final Four because their defense is, for the most part, non-existent and very inconsistent. I don't think Cal is great for prepping. So like when they win a first round game, which they probably will, the second round game is what I'm more worried about, because I don't think he's going to be able to prep or go ahead of time and prep those guys and be ready to do that, to play 2 days later and have 1 day of rest time and stuff. So little things like that. That's why I don't like Kentucky. But could they get to a Final Four national title game? Sure. I just don't think they're going
to
win it.
I want to fall back to Seton Hall because I think it's a really strong example. A team like that who plays really well against teams in their conference, and of course they're playing them multiple times in the year, but the Big East is no slouch. Of course, they obviously have UConn, Creighton, and Marquette on top of some very talented midfield teams there. Is that still like a crux though, the fact that you play well against those teams? Because in reality you can probably find opponents that are similar in style and at a high enough rating where you have a possible team full of almost NBA guys playing against you every week.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And like they beat UConn. They also lost like 30 the second time they played. So I think that was more of like a regulating type thing. But they beat a lot of these good teams is a really good point. And if they do, there are teams out there that play like every other team in the country. There are similar teams to basically everybody. So yes, but I think it's harder to find them is my point. So like if they get a good matchup and you can put the pieces together and be like, wow, this team kind of plays like Marquette and they play like whatever and Creighton and whoever, and like and Seton Hall does well against those teams. I like that matchup, that upset or that pick, whatever it is. I just think it's really hard to find those select few because the conferences are so different and people don't realize that. And it's easy to say the Pac-12 is different from the Big 12, but every single conference and plays so differently every single year. So
I'm hoping we can have you on again once the bracket is fully announced, because I really want to analyze the upset brackets, the way it always comes out, because of course the 12s versus the 5s and 13s and the 4s, and analyzing who's going to be that 1, 8, or 9 seed to knock out that 1 seed. But hopefully we'll be able to do that more in depth once the bracket actually comes out. Ryan, thank you so much for dropping in. For those of you who are listening and watching via YouTube, be sure to subscribe, like, follow Underground Sports Philadelphia. We're going to provide you some of the best fan analysis during the entirety of March, led by, of course, yours truly. Anything from analysis, betting, you got it. We have it here. Also, be sure to join the Underground Sports Bracket Challenge featuring myself and the rest of our crew for your chance to win some awesome merch, including a 2024 tournament tee and, of course, more. Ryan, thank you for dropping in. Again, you can follow Ryan on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, at RyanHammer9. It was a pleasure having you, man, and hopefully once Selection Sunday comes, we'll hop back on. We'll chat what's going to actually run down come the heart of March.
For sure, man. I appreciate you having me.
Big shout out to Ryan Hammer and Stevie Mack for bringing that content for March Madness, brought to you by our pals over at Dead Threads. But back to a little bit of NFL free agency, some big moves that have gone down. Derrick Henry goes to the Ravens on a 2-year deal, which is crazy. I love that move for the Ravens a lot. Jaguars making some big moves. The Titans signing Calvin Ridley to a 4-year, $92 million deal just 2 years after they didn't want to pay A.J. Brown. You know, the Steelers get Russell Wilson. There's so many moves going down in NFL free agency right now, and it's almost difficult to keep up with all the moves that have been happening across the board. Aaron Jones goes to the Vikings. Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney go to the Packers. There's been a ton of crazy free agency moves across the NFL, and I don't know when it's gonna slow down, because that's just NFL free agency in a nutshell. But I am I'm very excited to see how it continues progressing, because NFL free agency always changes the landscape of the league, and why the NFL parity in the league is so elite is because of free agency and how it moves. this is the time of year when teams are not afraid to make trades as well, as opposed to the trade deadline. So looking forward to that. But the NFL is on high octane right now. We're doing our best to keep up with everything when it comes to NFL free agency. So definitely be following us on the socials when it comes to everything. But of course, this NFL free agency period. Be sure to join our March Madness Bracket Challenge. It is linked in the description. Ryan Hammer is going to be joining. You'll compete against myself, Matt, Dom, Dylan, Stephen McAvoy, Pat Pitts, DJ, Christian, Owen, and Casey, everyone at our company, along with fans, friends of the network, the whole nine yards. It is one of our favorite times of the year. Join our Bracket Challenge, and you're going to have an opportunity to win some awesome apparel from our friends over at Dead Threads, who are powering our March Madness season. Unique designs on T-shirts, on sweatshirts that have an underground aesthetic to them. It's bringing art to life with celebrities, with athletes, and Dead Threads is absolutely incredible. Click the link in the description, or when you go to check out at deadthreads.shop, use our code UNDERGROUND. You'll get 10% off with our code. Click the link in the description. You get 15% off by using our link and then double up with that code. It's a nice little discount there for you. Deadthreads.shop, code underground at checkout by clicking the link in the description as well to get up to like 25% off effectively. 15% off, 10% off, bing, bang, bong. Shout out to Dead Threads, and lucky winner of our bracket challenge will be getting some badass Dead Threads merch. So definitely enter our bracket challenge, which is also linked in the description. Shout out to Dead Threads. Baseball, NFL free agency has started, and still no signs of Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery signing. Absolutely crazy. But when it comes to the Phillies and when it comes to us with baseball season, I do have to make an announcement. Brought to you by our pals over at FOCO. Yes, our announcement brought to you by FOCO. Because I'm sure later on in the year, they're going to want to get involved with this. So just jumping ahead of it. Forever Collectibles, you see Patty Pitts wearing his captain's hat. We ordered our Jason Kelce bobblehead that'll be on the shelf as soon as it arrives. You saw me rocking the Phillies overalls all playoff long. FOCO is the place to go to get them. They've got the best collectibles in the game for every sports fan across the board. Click the link in the description and go check out all of the Forever collectibles that FOCO has to offer for you. Shout out to FOCO for sponsoring the podcast. But when it comes to us in a personal matter with our live tailgate podcast, that was talked about, scheduled for March 30th of this year. By the time you guys are listening to this, about 2 weeks from now, I have made the difficult decision to postpone the tailgate pod to a later date. Hopefully moving forward, it will be a recurring event on opening night, but just logistics-wise, for us to get everything ready that we needed to have everybody on board with being there, securing tickets for everyone, and along with the Philadelphia Wings having their final home game of the regular season at 1 o'clock that day, where the game is at 4:05, our tailgate podcast would have been at like noon. I would have had to have dipped on our entire tailgate, which I did not want to do. And just logistically, it was becoming something that I was stressing about way too much and handling a lot of the details on my own, that it didn't make a lot of sense to push out a product that was going to be 25% of what I know it's capable of being, what everyone here that was going to be involved knows it was capable of being. We are still going to do multiple live tailgate podcasts this season. It will just be pushed to a later date. When that date, the first date arises, we will let you know. I do know one definitive date we are aiming for is a Monday when Rhys Hoskins returns, June 3rd. So have that date circled for sure. That is one date that we have on the dartboard. But the first one to kick off live tailgate podcast season is going to be delayed. It's going to be postponed. So don't worry. You're not going to miss it on March 30th. It sucks. I hate doing that. I hate postponing anything. Just because to me, it makes me feel like I'm failing at something, and I hate failing. But I know that if we would have gone forward with it, it wouldn't have been the product that we are capable of putting out and are known for when it comes to our live events. And I didn't want to half-ass or even quarter-ass the event as a whole. So I'm making the overarching decision to postpone it and pull the plug on March 30th. So don't worry about missing. If you were coming, I apologize. We will have date and dates in the near future. Plus, we want to get like sponsor logistics down, and for stuff like that, there needs to be sponsors for it. And I've been in talks with some companies that would be part of it, but it wouldn't have come in time, and it's just a whole mess. And I like being transparent with you guys 110% with everything we do, because you are involved with everything we do and help us go to where we want to reach in terms of new levels and new accomplishments and heights and everything like that. So wanted to be 110% transparent. The live tailgate podcast that was originally scheduled for March 30th, 2024 is postponed to a date to be named later. And we will have more information for you as it becomes available. But I will be going to that game. I will be tailgating more than likely opening day on the Thursday. And I will be at the first Sunday game, as that is my first season ticket game. So I'll be down at the ballpark that entire weekend. And myself and Pat Pitts will be in town on April 2nd to the 9th for WrestleMania. Myself and Pat Pitts will be at the first BOGO hot dog night, doing some man on the street content and getting people's opinions on the switch up from Dollar Dog Night to BOGO Dogs. Taking Patty Pitts out on the town as soon as he gets to town. So we will be down at Citizens Bank Park almost every single day to kick off the season in some shape or form capacity. So looking forward to that. I apologize again for the postponement of the live tailgate podcast, but just logistically and making it all make sense wise and taking a lot of stress and anxiety off of our shoulders here, it made the most sense to push it to a later date. So we will still be having multiple that we are planning, but it will occur to kick off at a later date. Moving right along to the Philadelphia Flyers on a quick hit here. It is brought to you by our pals over at Kenwood Beer, the official beer partner of Underground Sports Philadelphia and part of our live tailgate podcast series. It's a refreshing light beer, just 120 calories, only 4.1% ABV, and only 8 grams of carbs. Go to kenwoodbeer.com and use the Kenny Finder to see who's got Kenny's on tap in the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Maryland, and New Jersey areas. You can also get it at your local liquor stores in those markets. And of course, check out their storefront on the website for awesome apparel, their pint glasses, the whole nine yards. That's kenwoodbeer.com. Got to be 21 or older to do so. And of course, please drink responsibly. John Tortorella suspended for 2 games for calling it like it is and calling a ref out for their bullshit. As we mentioned, the Flyers, they are still holding on to a playoff spot, which is nice. They've got some tough games ahead as this tail end of the season progresses. They got a big win on Tuesday against the Sharks 3-2 after the 7-0 loss to the Lightning. They got the Maple Leafs on deck. They've got the Bruins on deck in Boston. And then next Tuesday, the Maple Leafs come to Philadelphia again. And then the Flyers go on the road to take on the Hurricanes in a big-time matchup. And then Saturday, the 23rd of March, they host the Bruins. They host the Florida Panthers on Sunday, March 24th. Then they go to Madison Square Garden to take on the Rangers on the 26th of March. Then they go up to Montreal to take on the Canadiens on March 28th. And then host the Blackhawks to round out the month of March with just about half of April in terms of schedule remaining. I fully believe the Flyers are going to be a playoff team. It's exciting that we have playoff hockey on the horizon. We're going to have playoff hockey live streams with myself, Pitts, Stevie Mack, and as of right now, Deej, as long as the Red Wings make the postseason, which it looks like they should be. They are currently tied for the final playoff spot, I believe, but looking forward to playoff hockey, and we'll have more on NFL free agency this weekend. We will have a ton more content coming out across the board. Be sure to tune into our Selection Sunday live stream, 6 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday, as we break down the bracket as it gets revealed. And stay tuned for more Underground Madness interviews with Stephen McAvoy. He's booking guests left and right as much as he can. So if you are somebody out there listening who is a March Madness aficionado, hit our line. But be sure to follow us. Make sure you're following us on the socials at Underground PHI, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI, Twitch.tv/UndergroundSportsPHI. You can follow me on Twitter at KBIZZL311 and on Instagram and Threads at KBIZZLE11. Subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts in audio form. It really does go a long way for helping this show hit new goals, reach new achievements that we want to hit, and allows more people to find the podcast as a whole. So subscribe on audio, leave a 5-star review. It really does help the show, helps us out here, and allows us to do more dope stuff with and for you guys. Subscribe, Apple, Spotify, and of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. That's where you get full video episodes of this show twice a week, full video episodes of every show on our network, live streams, clips, shorts, original video content. It is all on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. That is where our Selection Sunday live stream will be. Make sure you join our bracket challenge linked in the description. Get your merch at phiapparel.co and use code UNDERGROUND for 10% off your order. And of course, this show is presented by the City of Vineland. And whether you're a company looking to expand, relocate, or you're a new business startup, selecting the right location is critical to your success. Vineland, New Jersey offers both an affordable business location and an excellent quality of life. The city's economic development department is a one-stop source for moving your project through the development and approval process, and their goal is to make this process as smooth as possible and to provide the fastest turnaround times in the region. If you're considering potential locations for your operation, contact the Vineland Economic Development Team at 856-794-4100. That's 856-794-4100. Vineland, New Jersey, where it's always growing season. And big thank you to Security 21 Security Systems and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated for their continued support of this podcast. And before I get out of here, I've just been brainstorming because it's around the same time that 6 years ago, he came on this show as a guest. He's doing a bunch of the media things and podcasting things. Let me know how you guys would feel if maybe I reached out to friend of the program, original underground athlete, Jameel Demby. Maybe brought one of his podcasts or start a podcast on our network with him. Feels like a match made in heaven. Maybe talk some ball. Jameel, let me know what you think. Hit my line, bro. You know where to find me. Would love to have Jameel doing his thing with us in some capacity because he's the man, the myth, the legend, and appreciate the hell out of him always. But hey, let's talk. Maybe we get the OG underground athlete making some content on the network. Who knows? But this has been episode number 620 of Underground Sports Philadelphia. Once again, big thank you to Ryan Hammer for hopping on the show with Stevie Mack to break down March Madness. But this has been episode number 620, presented by the City of Vineland. I'm KB. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. But until then, I am getting the heck up out of here, and I am signing off. Peace. I'm looking for the people's champ.